I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about godly sorrow. We're going to be taking a look at this passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where it says that godly sorrow leads to repentance. There's a worldly sorrow that leads to death, but godly sorrow leads to repentance, and it gets us to this place where we have no regrets. To live a life with no regrets, one of the things to pass through, it seems to be, is going through this godly sorrow that leads to repentance so that we make changes, we make adjustments, so that we live a life with no regrets. But we're going to get started here with our daily communion meditation. We're going to be taking communion over this passage of scripture today. The way we typically do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves before our time of communion for today. And then lately, something we've been doing is pairing our daily communion meditations with a daily communion workout. So if you'd like access to that workout, you go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com, and you get on our email list there. The daily workouts are attached to the daily emails. And we've got some tips on how to execute that workout today. Because I truly believe physical exercise, one of the greatest ways to connect with God and practically experiencing his grace and his power flowing through you on a daily basis. And once you understand how to see that flowing in you in your exercise, helps you to practically apply it into every other area of life. But first of all, why are we taking communion every day? Daily communion. In our program, The Abundant Life Blueprint, daily communion with Jesus is the most important thing. Jesus says, as often as you take this, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir the sacrifice of Jesus, those spiritual principles into our mind and imagination and emotions, and to make his sacrifice present and active, or active and relevant and in this present moment today. To make it alive in our lives today and to pair it with something physical that we do in the cracker and the juice, which, you know, we're taking spiritual, we're taking the mind and emotions, and we're taking something practical that we do, and we're uniting them all together. Combining spirit, soul, physical world all together. It helps us to abide in him, to remain in his love so that our lives produce fruit. Communion also serves as this point in time where we can receive promises from God. The Apostle Paul says, every time you take communion, you're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which is a big deal because in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. The way you activate all of the benefits are by proving the death. So when we proclaim the death, we're activating the benefits of this new covenant. And taking communion can serve as an activation or a marker in time where you say, you know what, that day, at that moment when I took that communion, that's when I believed I received those promises from God. But it's important that we take it the right way. Taking it often is also important to take it the right way with the fear of the Lord, just that honor, that reverence, that gratitude, that joy, just the delight of this time of being able to come together with him. It's this symbol of this partnership and this covenant with God, which is so precious to him, supposed to be precious to us. It's time to come together with him, to commune with him. Like I said, we're also pairing workouts with this. I think working out, physical exercise, one of the greatest ways to physically practice. Physical exercise is a physical representation of exercising your faith. One of the greatest ways to practice exercising your faith, practice connecting with God, to see his power flowing through you and to practice that every day. Comes along with a lot of great side effects as well. Better health, better energy, less joint pain, healthier, fitter, all these types of things as well. But let's get started with our daily prayer and then we'll get into today's communion. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, all of our church and governmental leaders. Thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us. and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us, and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities today to do good and to be a blessing, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities, and to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to talk about the other half of prayer. This is a time to examine ourselves. Are we making today, this day, today, a masterpiece? Are we making today, as long as it's called today, it's always called today, living in this present moment, making today a masterpiece? You may say, well, how am I going to do that? I'm just doing ordinary things. The way you're going to do that, you're going to connect with the master. You're going to make today a masterpiece by connecting with the master. We're going to execute these four fundamentals today. And we're going to do it, and we're going to make them fun. We're going to bring some energy and some presence and some excitement into these four fundamentals today. You master these four things, it's going to make such a difference in how you experience a day. Number one, getting positioned in light. Then we're going to magnify that light to make it bigger and brighter and greater. And we're going to stay tuned in today for God's leading and direction and take action. Do those things that we know to do and do them together in partnership with God. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day as time moves forward, we're going to make today a masterpiece. We got to walk in the light. We got to take our position in the light. And remember, this is the on-off switch. There's no in-between. Either we're in the light or we're in darkness. It's either on or it's off. There's no in-between. To be positioned in the light is to be positioned in humility. Now, sometimes, as we're going to talk about today, to be positioned in humility, when we humble ourselves, we may realize, wait a minute, I got some areas I need to make some corrections in. And you might experience some of that godly sorrow, where you feel bad, you feel just that sorrow on the inside, that godly sorrow, but it leads to repentance. Because it causes us to make changes, causes us to live a life with no regret. And when we humble ourselves, it leads us to this place of forgiveness. God gives grace to the humble. We can humble ourselves. We can receive that forgiveness from God. We forgive ourselves in the middle, give ourselves that same grace and forgiveness God has given us. And then we walk in that same forgiveness with other people. And to be positioned in the light is to be positioned in love. Love and light are one and the same thing. They're both God. God is light. God is love. To be in love is to be externally focused, focused on doing good, focused on being a blessing consistently. And one of the easiest ways, one of the most practical ways we can take our position today is just to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. When we get into bitterness and resentment and complaining and venting, it kicks us out of the light because we're focused on the wrong things. And then we're going to start, when we take our position in the light, all this good stuff is in there. All the good stuff's in the light. Everything God has, by his grace, he's given us everything that he has. He's put it all in Christ. And we can take our positioning in that today. All this is available today to flow through you. His spirit and power and presence, his love, his peace, his joy. We have the mind of Christ. We have access to his health and his energy. The Apostle Paul says, I worked harder than anybody. But it wasn't me. It was God's energy that so powerfully worked within me. We become part of God's family when we step into the light. We have his purpose. We have purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. We have access to his time, to his finances, everything he has. It's available in Christ. But then we got to start to magnify that light. We first take our position today. When you wake up first thing in the morning, let's take our position in the light. And then we're going to magnify that light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And as we magnify it, it expands the capacity. I like to think of it like a pipeline of living water. And it builds a bigger pipeline where God can begin to flow more through you. And to magnify is all about what we're focused on. Where is our attention? What are we thinking about? What are we talking about? What are we meditating on throughout the day? And as we magnify this light, it also gets it established in our hearts. Our hearts get established in this grace, established in this new covenant, where we become more fixed and immovable and consistent in it. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Today, this day, we're going to make today a masterpiece. We got to keep our minds fixed on his word, rolling it over in our minds, talking about it, thinking about it, meditating on it, to magnify his unfailing love, his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him, to magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got right standing with God today. Even though we might feel like we've missed it, we've got right standing with God today. He eagerly desires to help. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just to stay focused on all the things that are going well, whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy, the Bible tells us to set our mind on these things. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. Talking about this godly sorrow today, sometimes to truly get past an issue, you have to bring it into the light. You got to get to the truth. You got to get to the hard truth. And sometimes that truth is hard to hear. Sometimes that truth is hard to recognize in ourselves. And sometimes that truth hurts a little bit. And it leads us to this place of godly sorrow. But it's that godly sorrow. You bring it to that point of the truth. And that represents this turning point when you bring it into the light. Because God is bigger than those problems. He's going to help you to turn it around. He's going to help you to triumph every single time. You bring those issues into the light and say, you know what, God, you are bigger than the issues and problems. We stop trying to hide from them. We stop trying to build walls around them and cover them up. We bring them into the light and say, God, you are bigger than this problem. Thank you that you're with us, that you're for us, that you want to help us to resolve these issues. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck, magnifying the problems, focused on bitterness and unforgiveness and contempt for people, venting, complaining, focusing on all the issues and problems, dwelling on all the things that are in the past, not willing to let those things go, stay stuck worrying about the future when as God holds our future, our securities in him. We could just be trying to do life without God, trying to do it all on our own. That's where we got to recognize those symptoms. When we're in darkness, might be snapping at people, might be retaliating, withdrawing your presence, avoiding people, might feel like there's this heaviness and just weight and pressure on you, might feel like it's hopeless, like you're trapped or you're stuck and there's no way out. Maybe your energy levels begin to diminish. Then there's that fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future. Confusion, it feels like you're just stuck in vicious cycles that you can't seem to break free from. But when you take your positioning in the light, one of the concepts that love rejoices in the truth, bringing those issues and problems, let's bring them into the light. Let's get real about them. And then that godly sorrow can lead us to this place of repentance. And you get to this place where you're in the light. There's this rest in your soul. When you get to the other side where that godly sorrow begins to produce that repentance, you're going to see what it produces today. We're going to look at this scripture, but it gives you this rest in your soul. Because now when you rest, God can go to work. Everything feels free and easy and effortless. And now you've got his energy and his love and his peace and his joy all flowing through you. You got the mind of Christ. All of a sudden you get these aha moments where you know that you know this is the thing to do. This is the step to take. God begins to just set you free and just break you free of those bad patterns, those vicious cycles that you've been stuck in. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace of being able to turn it back around if we ever get off track. One of our biggest challenges in life is maintaining this positioning. Sometimes we get off track. If you ever get off track, it only takes one moment to just turn it back around. You can get right back in. How do you do it? You humble yourself. You might experience that godly sorrow. Ah, you know what? I missed it. But that godly sorrow leads to that repentance. And you receive that forgiveness from God. You forgive yourself. You walk in forgiveness with other people. And then you start praising him and thanking him for his grace and his goodness. And just a few moments later, you experience that peace and that joy and that love and that grace just begins to flow through you all of a sudden again. Just washes over you. Now, we're going to make today a masterpiece. We got to get our positioning. We got to be magnifying the right things. And then we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, staying tuned in for God's leading and direction, because he's trying to teach us. He's trying to train us. He's trying to lead us to this beautiful, spacious place. The way I like to do this is with a journal before bed. I like to start by getting my positioning, start with what I'm grateful for, then magnifying. What went well today? What were my wins for today? And then I'll ask these simple questions. God, what were you trying to show me today? And I kind of reflect back over the day. What happened this day? What was God teaching me? What was I learning? God, is there anything you're trying to show me today? What was the most important thing you wanted me to get out of today? And then you just get still and you listen and you connect with him. Whatever comes to your mind, you just begin to write it down. Whether you think it was him or not, you just begin to write it down and begin to record your journey with him day by day. And then as you go throughout the day, stay tuned into him, stay plugged in and connected to him. Sometimes throughout the day, he'll course correct your path. He'll navigate you around some things. He'll teach you some things throughout the day. If you're ever unsure on what to do or which direction to go, just ask him. He eagerly desires to show you, and then wait until you know. Because sometimes we get out ahead of God because we're taking action on things that we don't know yet. We've asked him, but we don't have the answer yet. Wait until you know, and then when you know, begin to take action. And the last part I like to do in my journal is plan my upcoming day with God. What do I know to do today? I ask God, God, what's on your plan for today? Anything on your to-do list that you know needs to get done? Anything in your conscience or anything you've been procrastinating on that you know to take action on? Anything you have a leading or excitement from God to do today? And you list out your plan. It's usually a few things. What do you know to do today? And then you wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to make today a masterpiece. We're going to execute those things that we know to do. And we're going to do them together in partnership with God, with a willing heart, with a good attitude, full confidence in him. He's right there with me, helping me to execute these things that we know to do. And as you do this, it does something like magnetize you. You get better and better at this. It's like building a bigger and stronger magnet. As his grace begins to flow through you, it just begins to beautify your life. Not by your own effort and striving, but by his grace. It begins to beautify you. He is the source of beauty. And beauty is attractive. Beauty is magnetic. It begins to pull more and more of everything God has for you into your life. So let's take a look at the scripture today. Normally, we don't talk a lot about the negative side of emotions on these. Usually, we're pretty positive and encouraging. But I believe if you're experiencing issues, sometimes you got to go through some of these negative emotions, this godly sorrow. They have a place as well. These negative emotions have a place. God gave them to us for a reason, for feedback. Emotions are one of our greatest indicators, letting us know when we need to make adjustments. This is the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. This is verses 5 through 13. He says, when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest. We were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So a lot of people think, oh, a life of faith, I've got God with me, it means I'm never going to have problems and issues again. But that's simply not the case. You're going to have issues and problems still, but you're going to handle them in a different way. You might even have fears and conflicts and all these things going on, but you got God with you. And that's the difference. You're still going to have issues and problems, but you've got God with you. And that's the difference. He knows how to give you that comfort. And he not only comforted us by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. And he told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. And notice, their deep sorrow led to Paul having greater joy than ever. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter. So Paul had already written them a letter. And some of those things apparently made them sorrowful. But he says, I don't regret it. Though I did regret it at first, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. What is he doing? He's pointing out the truth. He's pointing out some ways that they had missed it. He said, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy because you were made sorry. But because your sorrow, not because you were sorry, but because your sorrow led to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended. Notice it was God who intended them to become sorrowful. And so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Read that one more time. Godly sorrow brings repentance. Godly sorrow leads to us making change. Changes that lead to salvation and leaves us with no regrets. But worldly sorrow, there's a sorrow that leads to death. Worldly sorrow leads to death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves. What indignation, what alarm, what longing. What concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you've proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did the wrong, nor on account of the injured party, but rather that before God, you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. And by all this, we are encouraged. So this godly sorrow leads to repentance, leads to a life of no regret, actually leads to happiness and joy and encouragement on the other side. So sometimes in your walk with God, you're going to have issues and problems. You're going to have fears on, you know, going on, just issues and problems going on around you. And sometimes there are some changes that are needed. And God will bring you to this place of godly sorrow that's designed to lead you to repentance. So if you're feeling that, you're experiencing that, it's the time to just seek him, to press into him. Bring those issues into the light. And it leads to this better place on the other side. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful. Thankful to have you in our lives. That you are the difference. Having you with us makes all the difference. And that was all made possible because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We're thankful for this godly sorrow that you give us, even though it doesn't seem like a good thing at first, that leads us to repentance so that we live a life of no regrets. Just thank you for that. A life of no regrets. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he said, take it. Receive it, that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. Through his one sacrifice. And God is eagerly desiring to do good for us today, even if it means, look at what the Apostle Paul said. Hey, I wrote them this letter that hurt them at first. God's trying to do whatever he can do to get us to this place where we live this beautiful life. Sometimes the path includes some godly sorrow so that we make adjustments and changes along that way, but he is faithful to help us do that. So, Father, we thank you for this bread. And what it represents. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. Makes all this possible. I believe as you experience this, what we're talking about today, just helps you to know, doesn't seem like a good thing at the time a lot of times, but on the other side of it, just helps you to know God's love and his goodness and his kindness, his grace that much more. So Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right. Workout stuff today. So today, when you execute your workout, and every time we talk about make your workout beautiful. One of the shortcuts, one of the simplest ways to practice connecting with God in your workouts is just to focus on making every rep of everything that you do, make it beautiful. And one of the ways that we do that is you got to be more present. Exercise is this great opportunity to practice presence. And it's an interesting thing happens. When you get more presence, when you're present, you experience more joy. So your indicator of presence is usually joy. That's what I think of. So it's a way to make your exercise more enjoyable, first of all. But when you're present, you're focused on one rep at a time. So if I'm doing 20 push-ups, I'm not focused on trying to get to 20. I'm focused on making rep number one beautiful. Then I'm focused on making rep number two beautiful. Rep number three beautiful. And before you know it, you're at 20. Now, as you're getting more present, it's not just you getting present. I want you to think about connecting with God's presence within you. Connecting with God and experiencing his presence, that he's right there helping you to execute that workout. He's helping you lift those weights. He's helping you move your own body weight. In him, we live and move and have our breath and have our being. Practice being more present in the exercise. One of the greatest ways to make it more beautiful and to make your exercise so much more enjoyable. I think of presence as what I call the grace table turner. When you get more present, it allows everything God put within you to flow out of you. It turns it from being locked up inside of you to now being able to flow out of you. And the simple cue is presence. Get more present right now in this present moment and aware of God's presence with you. One of the simplest things you can do, but it's often one of the overlooked things in a workout. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.